Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Financially Savvy in 20 Minutes. This is Vera, and obviously, or rather, she's back from her book fair. Natalie is here with us.
Hello, hi, hello. Natalie. Good to be back.
Yeah, it's always really, I don't mind doing interviews solo, but I love doing them with you. And I also love when we talk about just stuff that means a lot to us and goals, right? So I'm excited for this episode just to dive into ourselves, and also as a bit of a we'll see you next season episode as well.
I love that, because you're right. We're midway through the year, which is insane to think about already.
Yeah.
But you know, you and I constantly have these conversations of like what we want to do in the future, what we see ourselves doing in the next year, 5 years, 10 years. And I take daily walks in the morning. I have dogs, so you know, you kind of force yourself to do that too. But I stumbled across a voice memo that I did on my phone about a little over 5 years now, because it has the stamp date, right, of March. And it was a week before my TEDx talk, the first one that I did in Iowa. And it was basically like a confession diary. And I didn't really know what I was doing, but I just wanted to do that because I thought, oh, maybe I can use it for the podcast or something else. So that little clip that we're going to post here, you can listen to that next and just kind of hear where I was. And coming back to that video or that audio, it brought this sense of emotion, and it was amazing to hear the fear I had behind my voice in a sense. I don't know, a lot of people will pick that up when they hear it, but it's the sense of that you could tell I was excited about this opportunity to do a TEDx talk. Like, it was a dream come true. It was surreal, but it was also this unknown feeling, and how I still almost couldn't believe it. And I even thought, oh, they made a mistake. Or, you know, you start thinking about all the imposter syndrome that creeps up. But what I loved about that moment listening to that, I could tell what a big dreams I had. Like, I was like, oh, I can't wait to do this. And I want to write a book, you know, or I want to write a book with other women, like-minded women that can talk about their experiences. And, you know, it's just kind of how we put into the universe when we say it out loud, even if it's just to ourselves, what it is we want. And then you almost forget you said that if you, you know, don't go back to it often, and to be like, oh my God, that actually came true. And even when I was doing that video or audio, I was thinking, what if I don't show up, or if I miss my talk, or whatever happens? I, you know, wasn't even sure if that was going to be a possibility.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty nerve wracking. When I listen to that, and I really hope everyone takes the time to listen to it, because I have a friend that she's been journaling since she was like 13 years old, and she's now 42. And she's like, I will go back through some of my journals, and I'm like, some of them are ridiculous. Like, what was I thinking writing? Right. But others, it's like, it's another person writing this who had all these aspirations and dreams. And then you see some of the things that have come true, you're in awe of yourself that little girl or that teenager or that young adult was able to make it happen. So listening to yourself on that, and voice journaling, by all means do it, because I think it's very awesome. Listening to yourself, were there a couple of things there that have come true for you?
Absolutely. I was voice journaling because I was driving through Iowa at that point, trying to get to the venue for practice. And I journal all the time. I'm the same person. I think I was like 10 when I started journaling. I still go back, and a few things came true from listening to that. I was like, oh, that's so funny. I said, I wanted to be able to do more content that's value, you know, and being able to do more bilingual stuff. But what's so funny is looking back, I want to say I was 22 and I said I wanted to buy a house, and I was very specific on what it should look like. And I forgot I wrote that. And I kid you not, about a year after we moved into our house, this is now almost 8-9 years ago, I found that entry, and it said, I want a 4-bedroom, 2-bath, a big backyard, big front. I forgot what I put all these little lists. And then one of them was like, oh, 'cause I want one of the rooms to be for on home office as well. And it was just very detailed. And I had to show Nathan, my husband, I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe this came true. And same thing with the TEDx talk. During that time when I was saying that, I was excited about what was going to happen in a week, but it was still that not sure if it, is it really going to happen? Or is, you know, am I going to, and I thought that am I going to show up and they'd be like, oh, sorry, you're the wrong Natalie, or you're somebody else we thought you were going to be. And true story, I show up there. And it, luckily it wasn't the staff of the TEDx talk, cause they're all independently run, but it was a either volunteer or staff of the museum that was, let's just straight up say it was, he was racist. I didn't really know at first. And then later on, anyways, I show up and I'm not, luckily I'm not by myself. I'm someone came with me driving. And I show up and he says, oh, what do you, it's, there's nothing here tonight. And I go, oh, no, we're here for, you know, the practice for next week's, you know, TEDx talk. And he looked at me like confused or just like, no, it's, there's nothing here, or you missed it, or it was yesterday or something. Or he's like, you just missed it. And I'm like, and I'm freaking out, cause I'm like, oh my God, I drove all this way and I was told it today. And then luckily one of the organizers coming out the elevator and she's like, hey, she waves me down and she's like, come on this. And then he didn't say anything. He just kind of walked away like nothing. And I didn't think anything of it. And fast forward a week later, I ran into him when I was going back into the elevator to go down to the green room. And I'm like, oh, hi, you know, I'm trying to be nice. And, you know, this old white dude, and I'm talking to him and he's looking at me like a wall, like wasn't responding, didn't say. And then it clicked in my head. I'm like, oh, you're one of those people. And so, you know, just wow. Kind of, yeah. So I just kind of, and I know this is going off top topic, but why I wanted to bring that up is because that's how it happened to me more than once. And it's in a very different experiences, where I could have like shut down, because it happens when it's happening, you kind of like, is this really happening, or how do I handle this? I want to be professional. I don't want it to get to me. But you still kind of move forward. And looking back or hearing back that video, that audio, I said, I wanted to travel more. I wanted to do more speaking engagements. I wanted to do more of what I love doing. And if I would have given in to people like him, and I've had that many times over, especially working a lot in the Midwest. And then I also met incredible people that were totally supportive, totally opposite. And I'm like, okay, this is why I love working in the Midwest, because this hospitality is just wonderful. but it's, once again, it's having the goal in mind and understanding that every experience will dictate the next experience. And I think about that, like how lucky I've been to have something of a blueprint for myself, even if I didn't know if it was going to come true. So, I think that's a long version of answering that for you, but yeah, those are, have been big dreams that I wanted for myself.
Wow. I really hope that people can take away, besides journaling, and it's never too late to start journaling. But just understanding that there is no, some people take the streets, some people take the freeway to get to where you want to go. Yeah. So there's no timeline. Like, the only thing I will say that if you are sitting on your butt wasting time, then obviously you're not going to achieve your goals, because it's right. Just because you have the desire for something, you still need action. You still need forward movement and energy. So make sure that you're at least taking baby steps, learning something, reading something, meeting people. You know, you're taking the baby steps, that it doesn't matter how long it takes, but just start one step at a time. Compound, just like compound interest.
It's I love the same it. Thing. our favorite term.
Yeah.
Going back to you, what steps are you taking, or is there some goal that you have, you know, halfway through the year now that you want to do?
Yeah. You know, I want to be able to have more, my husband and I have the White House, and I want more White Houses everywhere. So I'm taking the baby steps to start exploring other states and, you know, looking at my house and actually contemplating to a HELOC or selling. Like, I'm talking to the various people that I need to talk to be able to establish this. I don't know if it'll happen next month or next year, but it's forward movement already. Like, I'm already having the conversations, doing the research, analyzing the other states, finding out what makes sense, what we can, you know, do we also feel good there? And it can get very overwhelming, because it's like, going into different territory, but instead of freaking out and just not doing anything and watching Netflix or Apple TV, which I certainly can do. and sometimes I do because that's okay. No, I actively look into it. My husband and I actively talk about it, and it gets us off our butt to be able to achieve what we want to achieve.
I love that. It's inspiring too, because you're right. It takes time to make that financial decision, whether it's selling, whether it's refinancing, whether it's reinvesting somewhere else. It's not a done in a week. At least I don't meet people like that that really get that done. So
yeah,
I love that you're doing that, because yeah, it just, we have to give ourselves that leeway, and that we have to be patient with ourselves to do that, right? Because sometimes if we look at the big picture, you just said overwhelming. But I look back on a lot of stuff and people are like, would you have done that knowing what you know now? And majority of the time I said, no, I as much work as it took to do something like that. I look back and I'm like, no, even with my first set, I remember how many hours and days, weeks I spent practicing, and it was a lot. And I think about now, I'm like, would I do that again? Probably not. I mean, yes, it was a great experience. Would I do it? Yes. But would I want to do that whole process? No. So you just said little baby steps. And I think when you and I know we've been talking about this and working on it already, is, you know, writing a book and collaborating with other women, other like-minded people too. It doesn't have to be just women, but, you know, kind of like things that we've learned, our biggest financial and best investments, mistakes and things like that. Because mm-hmm. I mean, it's being able to learn from each other. I mean, this is why you and I do this podcast too, because it's like, it's fun for us, but it's also so wonderful to hear people's successes, people's failures too, or mistakes, not really failures, because they mm-hmm. learn from those experiences. And being able to put that in, you know, a book that we wish we would have had to help us feel represented, or just help us feel like, oh, I'm not the only one that's gone through that or is going through that.
Absolutely. It's so necessary, because I mean, you and I talk about this sometimes, like I crave that. I read all the time, a lot. And I find myself always like, oh, it's a white character, obviously. And they could try to be generic about a character and it's like impossible. Like, you know, that's a white character, right? And that's fine. That's why I read a lot of books on Asian families or anything else out there. But sometimes I just want a good old fashioned American perspective of a Latino character, because I could also read books written by incredible Latin American authors, but it's not from the living in America perspective.
Oh, and as you're saying, living in America, I'm obsessed with John Leguizamo's show, Leguizamo Does America.
Yes.
And it's that being inspired by all the different types of cultures, all different type of Latin people. Mm-hmm. And the show that I just had to start watching, cause I saw his last episode, was the new show on Prime. It's called With Love. I believe they're on their second season. And
oh,
it's
I haven't seen that.
Representation of Latino, Asian, and they're in Portland, I believe. It's just that. And like, representation obviously is needed. And these shows become hits and successes because people are asking for it. So creating some of that.
Yeah. And I mean, we would talk forever on this episode, and I can talk about just like, there is a $1 trillion Latino market, people. You just have to have Latinos talk to Latinos, not have non-Latinos try to do things in the Latino market without talking to Latinos.
And bilingual.
And bilingual. Yeah. It's really, it's like mind boggling that this is still a thing, but that's why we do what we do. And you know what, you guys listening, you do what you do. Again, it's just recapping, take baby steps and reach out to people, because there's a lot of people that can help.
And I have to share, because you and I just got this notification a couple of weeks ago that we have been nominated and we're a finalist for the Boom Awards. It's the Podcasting Disruptor Award, because yes, we're financially savvy, but we are bilingual. So that's a very rarity. So it's kind of cool. And I think that's one of my goals for the end of the, I know it's one of my goals for us, is to be able to have more of these fun platforms, bilingual, being able to just have some of that energy and changing it up and having ideally a nice new studio or something that we can really work and have fun. Cause today I was on set on a studio for a different show and I'm like, oh my God, this is so much fun when you're actually, and home studio is great. There's so many benefits, but it's also such a big difference when there's a entire team behind creating an episode on anything. So putting it out there in the universe. And I think you and I can do something fun with that.
I love it. I just think about ether now.
Yeah. I was like, you and I can do so many things. Or I'm like, sometimes I think we could just sit and talk forever. Yes. Cause it's fun and we can do it. But you and I have like so many other talents that we're like, oh, we can definitely change this up and make this a variety show, because I think creativity is what motivates us, right?
Absolutely. So, yes. All right.
Well, it's a great episode. I hope those that are listening, this is actually an invitation to you. So if you have a goal in mind that you want to share with us, please let us know. We'd be happy to share that too. But if you're also interested in possibly being a contributor book, like writing out something, letting us know, like maybe you are a badass in your own, that you are a trailblazer in something, or you started something, maybe you're just the first gen in your family to do something, and talk about some of your mistakes and why, you know, why you're successful in what you do, and be happy to share that story with so many others. Cause I think our stories are important and they matter. And so, that's kind of the invitation. And hopefully maybe some of you are like, oh my God, I've always wanted to write something, maybe not necessarily a book on my own, but with two people that already were already in the process of doing something fun like that. So yeah, stay tuned for some more. Let us know.
Stay tuned. Thanks, everyone.
Bye.